Today is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will not be benediction this evening. And tomorrow, as usual, there will be the Mass at 8:30 a.m., followed by those who volunteer to help clean the chapel and the hall. And we mention that not only to remind you, but also to thank those who do it every week for that assistance. Wednesday, because it is the day before the Feast of the Purification, we will not have the Catholic doctrine talk, so that will be postponed. The next one will be on Wednesday, February 8th, so it's a week from this Wednesday. And then Thursday is the Feast of the Purification of Blessed Virgin Mary. It'll be the ceremony beginning at 9 a.m., so there'll be the blessing of the candles and then the distribution and the procession, and then after that, the High Mass. So that's at 9 o'clock this Thursday. And then candles will be distributed after Mass next Sunday for those of you who are not able to come on Thursday. And we'll not have the Holy Hour this coming Thursday evening. Then Friday is the first Friday of the month, and also it is the commemoration of St. Blaise. So there will be the 8:30 Mass with the votive Mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then after that, our Father Superior will bless the candles in honor of St. Blaise as a special blessing for that. And then bless the throats of all of you who come and to the communion rail after the Mass. And again, if you are not able to come next Friday, throats will be blessed after Mass next Sunday. And then this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, so it's an extra special devotion of Blessed Virgin Mary to assist at Mass on that day. And we will just announce this one more time about the, we'll call them collectibles, all the items that, dishes, plates, utensils, and also the lost and found items in the cabinets in the classroom. So what we do, in case you want to know, we maybe twice a year, if they're not picked up, then we give them to the poor, to charity. So if you're missing any items, I found a rosary case yesterday in the pew, and that's where it goes. So if you're missing anything, like a missal or prayer book, that is the place to get it after Mass. So that will be in the classroom. Now here are the feasts for this week. Today is the feast of St. Francis de Sales, bishop and confessor and doctor of the church. Lived about 300 years ago. One of the, or if the best, spiritual director in the history of the church, one of the best. You may know his book called The Introduction to the Devout Life. Beautiful spiritual reading if you want to read it at this time of the year. And as you've heard in previous sermons, he had a bad habit. He had a vice during his life. He used to blow up. He used to have a bad temper. But because he wanted to follow what the gospel says and what St. Paul says, be angry and sin not. So instead of getting angry needlessly, without justification. He channeled it in that fire of his personality to converting the tens of thousands of Catholics who had fallen away from the faith in Switzerland. That's a good example for all of us. To take unruly passions and habits and purify them and use them for the glory of God and for our conversion. To change our lives, to become like these saints. Remember years ago we said, we wrote a book about the spiritual life. It might be called Only Saints Change, because for the vast majority of people, especially Catholics and even traditional Catholics, we're about the same level we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Are we any holier? Have we given up those habits of sin or imperfections that we had a month ago or 10 years ago? And we think, well, how can I be a saint? Those people are way up high, and I am just a lowly sinner, and I just can't do that. It's too difficult. And so we put saints on a pedestal, and then we forget these people, like these images of these saints in the chapel and on the calendar, are people just like the rest of us. Some of them were far greater sinners. Some were very lukewarm and took their spiritual life in a casual manner. Even St. Teresa of Avila was leading a lukewarm life, and she was told by grace that she was headed for hell, even though she was in a convent, Carmelite monastery, 400 years ago in the old times. It was so lukewarm there, there's so many abuses, and she was part of it, that she was going to hell. Because priests and religious have a far greater responsibility to lead a spiritual and a holy life, not only for themselves, but for the people they pray for, and for the priests, for the people they lead and teach. So this is what St. Francis de Sales did. You can read about him in your missal or in a saint's book. Tuesday, St. John Bosco, feast, great saint of the 19th century, who had an unbelievable generosity and love for orphan boys. February 1st, Wednesday, St. Ignatius of Antioch. He was the successor of St. Peter. He was not a pope. How does that work? St. Peter founded the See of Rome and the See of Antioch. And St. Ignatius was the third bishop of Antioch. And this is in the second century. And this man, who was totally spent in terms of his life and his love of God. Let me read this little excerpt that he, his famous quote. He says that because when he was arrested, as you know the story, he was put in the arena. And that is what they would do. They would take these saints, and for their entertainment, they'd put them and see what would happen, watching the animals devour them up. And he says how he is like the Holy Eucharist. The exact quote is not referenced here, But as he's ground up like the wheat, and then as the wheat is ground up for the Holy Eucharist, for bread made into the Eucharist, that's what happened to him. He prophesied what was going to happen, and that's exactly what he was totally consumed by these animals. All he left were some bones. So he took a gruesome, horrific practice of the Romans and became a way of sanctifying himself and the rest of the Christians at that time. And he's a great saint known today. And then, the other 2 days, Saint Purification of Blessed Mother on Thursday, Friday, Saint Blaise, and then Saturday, Saint Andrew Corsini. Now, tomorrow, we want to talk about Saint Martina, Virgin Martyr. She was a beautiful saint of the early 3rd century, around 225. And because of her standing, but especially because of her belief in the Christian faith, she was arrested. That was a common thing, to be arrested at that time. So here's what happened to her. And in those days, just like during the French Revolution, nobody was spared. She was the daughter of a consul who were the... There were two consuls under the emperor. Yet because Emperor Alexander or Severus, because he had hatred for the Christians and the people under the emperor would carry out these orders. Here's what happened to her. And some of this we'll read and then we'll comment. But she was, when she was very young, she lost her parents. But she inherited all this wealth, so she gave it to the poor. And she had even though she was wealthy and it came from such a high-ranking family, she gave it all away. And she was commanded by this emperor, brought before him, to sacrifice to false gods. And this young woman said, I will not do that. I refuse to dishonor God, to commit this great wickedness. So she was, just like Lord, this beautiful maiden was scourged with iron prongs and hooks and pieces of broken pottery. Her limbs were cut off piece by piece with sharp swords, and boiling tallow poured upon her living trunk. Lastly, she was condemned to the wild beasts in the amphitheater, but by the will of God, they would not touch her, and she was then thrown upon a burning pile, but still remained alive by the same divine power. Some of the torturers, struck by the unusual miracle and touched by the grace of God, embraced the Christian faith, and after suffering many tortures, were beheaded and gained the glorious palm of martyrdom. That has happened countless times for the last 2,000 years in the church. How someone, great sinner, or great hater of Christ, great hater of Blessed Mother, in the church, they see what someone's suffering and they see, how could this happen? The person so terribly tortured would give up their lives, their bodies, everything for Christ, and then they are converted. At her prayers, earthquakes occurred, fire fell from the thundering heavens, temples of gods were overthrown and images burnt. Sometimes milk flowed from her wounds with the blood, and a glittering brightness and most sweet fragrance emanated from her body. Sometimes she seemed to be aloft upon a royal throne, singing the divine praises, surrounded by heavenly spirits. The judge, infuriated at what had taken place, and chiefly at her unbending firmness, not because of what he was seeing that was winning over soldiers, but because she would not break, she wouldn't bend, ordered the head of the martyr to be cut off. At the moment this was done, a voice from heaven was heard calling Martina to ascend. The whole city shook, and many idolaters were converted to the Christian faith. And this reminds us of the death of saints. It's happened, for example, when St. Anthony of Padua passed away, the church bells in the city were all ringing. How the haters of Christ and of the Catholic Church today believe in the most fantastic ideas about the universe or the stars or the earth, make up all sorts of fables, unscientific, to promote the atheist agenda, and yet they deny miracles that were seen by eyewitnesses. They deny it. That can't happen. No, I will not believe. Well, we'll talk about faith more in a moment, but you can see what happens to those who hate Christ. Look what happened to Herod after he killed the holy innocents. It said he got a disease, a horrible disease, and his body was eaten from inside of worms. He couldn't die. It was just a consuming thing. It was a horrific death because he killed innocent babies. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there is any commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel of this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was covered by the waves. But he was asleep. So his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today's epistle that St. Paul wrote to the Romans while he was in prison is just a brief summary to obey the commandments. Yes, being a Catholic, being a Christian, getting to heaven is more than just obeying the Ten Commandments. But how people should start there? By doing the basics. And then he says, if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving your neighbor, which is an expression of your love of God, is how you perfect obeying the Ten Commandments. Because what is the point of fulfilling, for example, the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. So a Catholic thinks, I will obey that commandment and the commandment of the church to assist at Mass and on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. Yet they have resentment, feelings of hatred, indifference, grudge holding in their heart, and they bring it into the chapel and they assist at Mass. Now, how can that be? Are they really fulfilling the first commandment when they come to Mass? The letter of the law, yes. The spirit, doubtful. So as you know in the Gospel, it says, to paraphrase, if you're going to the altar and you realize you have something against your neighbor, before you leave your gift before God, in other words, before you bring yourself before God, go to your neighbor and settle the issue. Apologize or whatever it is, and then come and offer your gift to God. Because who wants to be before God, and especially receiving Holy Communion as a hypocrite, saying to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist that you love Him, yet you have committed a sin of hatred or resentment toward your neighbor? Now, a person may say, this person at work, I cannot deal with them. I don't like the way I'm treated by them, or they bully me, or they harass me, or this boss is very cruel. Okay. Or this boy or girl at school is always making fun of me and I can't stand it. Or my husband or wife treats me this way, or my brother or sister. So all these complaints. And maybe all of them are justified. So how is that to be handled? How is the problem solved? The dilemma. Commend them to God. If there's a correction or something has to be said before you blow up or say something you regret, pray to God. Pray to your guardian angel, help me to solve this problem. Pray for the person that's mistreating you. That's what our Lord did. Beyond mistreatment, He's praying for the Jews for their conversion, for the Roman soldiers who were torturing Him, for His apostles who were betraying Him and denying Him. He's praying for them. Your prayers can do far more than your attempts at fraternal correction. And then in the Gospel for today, here is the beautiful miracle. Now, as you've heard before, but the season of Epiphany, the manifestation of God's human nature to the Gentiles, to all of us. Each Sunday, another miracle is presented to us. And here's a very great one, because here you have the ocean. There was the Mediterranean Sea. And it was common for storms or squalls to come up suddenly in the middle of the day. And so that's exactly what happened. And our Lord, because He was exhausted from all His works, was asleep. Just like He appears to be asleep in the Holy Eucharist and not listening to us. He is very well aware of what's happening, more than we can realize. And so the storm comes up and the boat is filling, lightning and thunder. And our Lord is pushed and nudged. And they wake Him up and, is it of no concern? Don't you know we're perishing? Save us. And immediately, by a mere word, He commands the sea to cease. All that upset. And it's a tranquil sea. And our Lord says, O you of little faith. Here they knew it was the Son of God, or their faith was almost there, that they basically believed it. He's right there, and they doubted it. They had seen many miracles already, and they doubted their safety. And they're actually rebuking our Lord. Complaining in a big way, let's put it that way. And in a way, there's not so much negative connotation to that, because it has been known for saints and people to cry out to God, can't you help us? We're desperate. And you know what's beautiful about that? Even though their faith was weak, they were praying, they were begging God for help in a passionate way. Desperate way. And that's what we should do, even though our faith is weak like theirs. Because we believe, but it's weak. So that is the final lesson. And just say to our Lord, increase my faith. Then the trust and hope will come, and then the love will come. But you have to start with belief. And firm belief in God. Help me to believe. Help me to pray. Help me to love. May God bless you.